The opinions expressed on this program are solely those of its hosts, guests, or callers, and do not necessarily represent the opinions of WTBR-FM, its management, other producers, or sponsors.
Good morning. Welcome to Morning Drive here on 89.7 WTBR-FM, Pittsfield Community Radio. Also listening to us on 88.1 WSBR in Lee, Lennox, and Stockbridge. Watching us on the PCTV Select app and on channel 1301 on your cable dial. I'm Sean Sayre here with you this morning. Friday, April 10th it is, and we are waking up to a nice, bright, sunny day out there. Again, another day where you have to put the sun visor down while you're driving in. Keep that in mind. But it's a nice day. I guess we are expecting a little rain later today, and then we'll see what happens for the weekend. So we'll see about that. We have a great show coming up for you today. We have Hari Kumar here. He's going to be talking about his new project, something he's been working on for a while, called Stories for the Common Good. We're going to be talking about that. It's a great topic for a Friday. We need a little good news here this morning. We're going to get that, and we're going to talk to Hari about this project and other things he's working on. But first, let's get to the weather forecast and see what the National Weather Service has in store for us today.
WTBR radar weather for the Pittsfield area. Rest of tonight, partly cloudy and not as cool. Near steady temperature in the upper 30s. South wind 5 to 10 miles per hour with gusts up to 20 miles per hour. Friday, mostly sunny. Warmer with highs in the upper 60s. South wind 5 to 10 miles per hour. Gusts up to 25 miles per hour in the afternoon. Friday night, showers. Lows in the upper 30s. Southwest wind 10 to 15 miles per hour, becoming west after midnight. Gusts up to 30 miles per hour. Chance of rain 80%. Weather forecasts for WTBR-FM are provided by the National Weather Service.
All right, there you have it. Nice day today, actually. It sounds like it will be enjoyable. Upper 60s and sunny, a little light breeze. Nothing wrong with that. We can handle that. And a little bit of rain tonight. And then, I don't know, I didn't hear the rest of the forecast for the weekend, so you're kind of on your own for that one. Morning Drive here, 89.7 WTBR-FM, welcoming Hari Kumar to the show. Good morning, Hari. How are you?
Good morning, Sean. Good morning, everybody. Thank you so much, Sean, for having me.
Yeah, absolutely. And so last time you were on the program, probably a month or two ago, we were talking about AI,
right,
and the dangers mostly of AI, in your opinion. And that was quite the lengthy conversation about that. Fun conversation in some ways, but certainly something that's on a lot of people's minds. Mm-hmm. Today we're going to be talking about a side project that you have going on, mm-hmm, something called Stories for the Common Good.
That's right.
So how did you envision this project, and give us a little idea of what it's about?
Yeah, actually, this is actually my main project. The AI stuff is the side project.
Okay.
I don't want to be talking about AI. Yeah. I feel like I have to because it's such a danger.
Yeah.
So I'm actually really excited to talk about this project because this is actually the positive, uplifting side. This is what actually gets me, you know, going in the morning,
yeah,
is thinking about Stories for the Common Good.
Hmm.
So Stories for the Common Good has been on my mind for at least about 3 to 5 years now. The basic idea behind this is actually what led to me leaving my tech job, to actually help tell these kinds of stories. These are the stories that matter. These are the stories that are part of our everyday lives. So Stories for the Common Good, the basic idea behind the project is there are so many parts of our lives that we just take for granted, until they break, you know, things like our water supply,
yeah,
you know, things like our public roads, our public schools,
yeah,
our public libraries. And then when there's a funding crisis and these things stop, they disappear, or, you know, the work of nonprofits like Pittsfield Community Television,
yeah,
you know, or Berkshire Food Project,
mm-hmm,
when these things suddenly disappear, we wonder, wait, why did we miss them?
Yeah, you know? Yeah.
And so the idea behind this project is let's tell these stories that we don't get to hear so that, you know, we can actually rally around them. We can build up the common good again. The common good is so important for all of us. So let's double down on the common good.
Yeah. So, and there are so many. I think that what you just said was, you know, you don't realize how good it is until it's gone.
Yeah.
And that's some of the things that you want to focus on with this project.
That's right.
And so you envision this as a, as an audio storytelling type of a project. So how will that unfold?
Yeah. So first of all, let me just say thank you to the Massachusetts Cultural Council.
Okay, yeah.
And my local cultural council up in the Northern Berkshires. Mm-hmm. That's also a great example of the common good. So this project is partly funded by a small grant from the Massachusetts Cultural Council. And so this year I'm thinking about this as really just a pilot run or mm-hmm. season one, if you will, mm-hmm. of a show. And so initially we'll be producing about six or so stories, somewhere between 30 minutes to 45 minutes, almost like a podcast style.
Mm-hmm.
So imagine like the good old days of radio stories.
Yeah.
So these will be curated and crafted audio stories that you can kind of have in the background. You can be listening to, and they'll be produced with interviews with different people, with good sound design, really immersive storytelling to really make some of these everyday, you know, aspects of our lives come alive through the magic of storytelling.
And so will each episode of the podcast or audio book, I guess you would call it something, mm-hmm. Will each one of those feature one person or one organization, or will it be a theme or one type of common good that that features a lot of different people? How is that going to be put in place?
Yeah, so it's more about the common good itself.
Mm.
So we're so used to stories that feature a central character who mm-hmm. heroically overcomes impossible odds, you know, and helped along the way by a whole bunch of supporting characters. So these stories are going to be a little different.
Mm.
You know, what if the central character is not one person, one hero, but what if that central character is a water pipe, you know, a road, uh-huh. Or an institution? What if the central character mm. is a school mm-hmm. or a public library? And these are the stories where, because there isn't one really main compelling person as mm-hmm. a central character, we don't get to see these stories. So these stories are going to actually feature the everyday, ordinary people like you and me, you know, who are involved in a school or involved in a public library.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we don't get to see or hear just how much work it takes to maintain or run a public library. Or take, for example, things like, you know, fire stations, police stations.
Mm-hmm.
You know, maybe police stations, fire stations, we get to see them more often. But even for something like fire stations, it's an amazing common good. We don't get to really see the stories behind that.
Mm-hmm.
Or, for example, EMS services.
Yeah, first responders,
right?
First responders, right.
So each episode will take a common good as a central character. So, for example, if it's going to be the story of the North Adams Public Library,
mm-hmm.
it's an amazing story. It's an incredible story behind the North Adams Public Library.
Yeah.
The more I've been digging into that, I'm like, oh, my goodness, this public library was way more than a public library.
Yeah.
You know,
give us a little background on that. It sounds like you've already gotten some research under your belt here.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah. So I won't give away the whole story.
No, you can't, right?
As a storyteller, I'm going to,
right.
Hey, stay
yeah.
tuned. But just as a teaser, this public library started out by the first mayor of North Adams, who donated a building to create this public library.
Mm. Now, public, was that Houghton?
That's right. Exactly.
Okay.
Right. Yeah, that's right. So that's where the name comes from.
Right.
But public libraries actually go back, way back to the founding of Yankeedom in Massachusetts. And so the North Adams Public Library in the Great Depression in the 1930s actually became a warming shelter for folks that needed to a warm place to be.
During the Depression.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. And then fast forward, during the pandemic, they found themselves having to pivot and provide very similar types of community services.
Mm.
So this is something that people don't realize, is that public libraries aren't just a place where you can go and get books for free, which is an amazing
right.
benefit. But public libraries provide a whole range of services that people aren't aware of.
Yeah, it seems like these days, too, in the particular climate that we're in, we find ourselves questioning some of those, right? Like, a lot of these institutions were handed down to us.
Yeah.
They were built by people in different generations,
yes.
right?
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes a century or more ago.
Yeah.
And as you mentioned, they have evolved in terms of the role that they play in the community. Maybe they were brought into the community for one purpose, but mm-hmm. as time goes on, they've developed, you know, and they've served other needs, right?
Right.
And so how do you account for people now now coming up, you know, the newest generations of people looking at those institutions and saying, well, I don't see a need for that, you know.
Yeah.
And I think there's a lot of pushback on some of that, like, wow, we spend a lot of money on that. Why do we do that still? There's always that sort of reexamination as every new generation comes through, but maybe they're not seeing, you know, the kind of thing that you're talking about, which is that common good, that the thing that the founders put in to say, no, there's a need for this, and it really should be part of our community.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. You know, and these things, these aspects of our lives, of course, you know, they can always improve, they can always change. And so the sort of the pushback and the criticism, some of it is needed and mm-hmm. justifiable. But the underlying values, the underlying stories behind them, that's what's really been under attack for decades now.
Yeah.
And it's why we have seen over and over, you know, decreased funding for public schools, mm-hmm. decreased funding for public services.
Yeah.
And why we have seen, you know, lots of campaigns to try to privatize mm-hmm. some of these things. And what we don't realize is we might currently be like thinking, oh, why is my tax bill so high? You know, why am I having to pay so much? Well, imagine that if you had to pay a bill every time a firefighter showed up at your door to put your house out,
yeah.
you know, a fire out on your house. That's not the kind of, you know, society we want. That's not the kind of life we want to live. And that's the whole idea behind some of these things. It's for the common good, that these things exist to benefit all of us.
Yeah, you mentioned the push toward privatization, and that there's a pull to that, right? People think, well, you know, if this thing can't survive on its own with whatever it needs to do to, you know, bring in funds to provide for it, then maybe we shouldn't have it at all.
Right.
You know, that seems to be that theory now, rather than paying for it with common public money.
Right.
And I don't know if I'm just talking about libraries or whatever. It seems to be sort of that common thread. Well, you know, it needs to be run more as a business, and you apply that to schools, or you apply that to government or things like that, or the postal service, for example.
Right.
You know, and those are all things where they are services, right, that mm-hmm. people require and need. You mentioned fire. Protection, you know, having and actually, isn't that a thing in some places? Private fire companies have I heard about that? That seems very odd to me that there would be something like that.
Yeah, it's again one of these things where billionaires come up with an idea that has existed for a long time, and they try to find a way to make money off that idea. And so, yeah, in some places there are private firefighting services,
and those serve probably very wealthy areas, I'm guessing.
Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah. So when during the California wildfires that happened a few years ago, one of the things was there was a really rich person whose mansion was about to get burned down, and offered to pay, put out the bid for, like, is there any private firefighting company mm-hmm. that would, and it turns out the same person was somebody who had actively worked on defunding the mm-hmm. firefighting services in California. I think that's mm-hmm. an example of, I'm a small business person, you know, I have a small business, and I get the idea of how to operate a business. And I get the pull to thinking about, like, you know, some of these services could be better run if they were run by a private company, if they were run like as a business. But what people don't see is when you set up something to be a private business, the incentives and the motivations are completely different. Mm-hmm. It's no longer about serving your actual community. It's about making money.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the incentive structure then becomes like, well, you begin to see your community not as people that you exist to serve, but you begin to see the community as products, as mm-hmm. customers.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a dehumanizing
thing. Right. And how to provide shareholder value, right? It's a different priority.
A totally different
than
set of
just
priorities.
Serving the population that it's intended to serve. And I think of our healthcare system, for
that's
example.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And, you know, there are for-profit insurance companies. There are nonprofit insurance companies. There are for-profit hospitals. There are nonprofit hospitals.
That's right.
They're supposed to do the same thing ultimately, but in the for-profit model, they also need to make a profit for investors.
Right.
And that's really a different priority, isn't it, than taking care of people.
Yeah. You'd imagine that something like healthcare, your number one priority should be people come first.
Yeah.
People's health comes first. or education, you would think the number one priority is the learning process should come first, not on, you know, how can we commodify every aspect of it and get the most money out of students.
And there seems to be an effort, especially in education these days, for sort of defunding public education, whether that's at the K through 12 level, where the funding flows from federal government through the states, through the into the local school districts and things like that. And then also at the public higher education level. In the last, five decades, you've seen a dramatic drop in the amount of money that states put toward their public college systems, right? Huge difference. And what has that done? I mean, I'll just throw it out there, right? It's made higher education much less attainable for ordinary people. And it's inflated the student loan debt crisis, because now people, instead of having an affordable means of going to higher education in their public college system in their state, now they're taking out huge loans, which are going to stay with them for decades, right?
That's right,
Or they're not going to go.
They're not going to go. And it does have a ripple effect all the way down, because it's not just about, you know, people, when they think about, I think people, when they think about, like, you know, public universities and they think about, you know, higher education, they think that this is about, you know, degrees in, say, philosophy or art, which, hey, by the way, like, I started out as an engineer, and then I left engineering to go back to graduate school. And I went to UMass Amherst for graduate school, public higher education. And I got my degree in art, in communication. Something that I could not have done if it wasn't for public funding for graduate education in the arts. So I'm not saying that a degree in art or philosophy is not useful.
Right.
But oftentimes people picture that when they think, like, oh, why should we be funding somebody to go study art? You know, but when you take away funding for so-called, you know, public higher education that is for those kinds of degrees, that has a ripple effect all the way down, even to community college funding, to vocational training in schools. Those also are going to get cut. And so it's not like, you know, somebody is making a decision on, let's just only fund the things that are, quote unquote, more employable or more valuable. But now every single education program begins to come under this lens of, how much money can this make? And that's where we see a complete loss of access to education.
Yeah. Hari Kumar is my guest here this morning. We're talking about his new project, Stories for the Common Good. It's going to be an audio project, a storytelling project, if you will, that he is going to be working on putting together season one, let's say, this coming summer into the fall, right? And hoping to debut it in the fall.
That's right. Yeah. September, October is when we'll be having a whole series of public events throughout Berkshire County to feature these stories, but also for people to get to actually meet some of the people involved in these stories and hear stories live on stage. But yeah, so over the next 5-6 months or so, we'll be curating and collecting some of these stories and putting them together.
So for people listening and they're saying, okay, I'm interested in hearing what this is about, but this is the moment where, if people are hearing this now, you could actually contribute to how those stories are shaped, right? What are you looking for some input from people?
That's exactly right. And especially these days, if folks are listening to this and thinking, like, you know what, I have a great example of a really good story, something that's in my personal life or in my everyday life that I would love to see this story being, or this aspect being, actually spotlighted. Now is the moment to get involved. They can go to my website. It's called connectconvivo.com / common good. So, or they can go to storiesforthecommongood.com.
Oh, that's easy.
That's much
storiesforthecommongood.com, right?
Yes.
Okay.
And so there's a bunch of different ways people can get involved. Number one is, if you have an idea for a story, you know, if you love your local public library, or if you know your local fire station is doing an amazing job, or you want to call out your local Department of Public Works for doing a really, really amazing, especially this winter. We saw, you know, Sean, I loved the segment you did when you rode along on a DPW plow truck.
Yeah.
So if people have examples like that, that's the number one thing. Those are really positive and encouraging things. This is a great way to recognize some community initiative that you want to be spotlighted. So send those in. There's a form on the website. But also, if you're excited about being involved in something like this, if you want to contribute to shaping some of these stories, I have a link on there where you can, you know, give me your name and email, and I'd love to get you involved in this. And then lastly, when we actually are going to be debuting this in September and October, you know, we're looking for people or organizations that would love to host a listening party. So those are a few different ways people can get involved.
Right. And so you envision the project being how many episodes that you'll produce this year?
Well, right now I've got enough funding to help me do 6 episodes.
Okay.
If we get, you know, more funding, if we get more support, especially if we get more people to help, we can, you know, scale that up to maybe about 10 episodes or so. But this is the pilot run. And this is starting out primarily in the Northern Berkshires because this has been funded by the Northern Berkshire Local Cultural Council. But I'm collecting stories from all across the Berkshires. So if we get about 6 to 10 episodes, really good episodes out this year, that might help us set the stage for more next year.
Yeah. And then each episode will be about how long?
About 30 minutes to 45 minutes at the most.
Okay.
That's about the length of like a nice TV show. And so this is also intended to be a screenless kind of experience. You know, we've got too many screens going around us these days. And so this is a great way for you to just kind of have something like, you know, that you can listen to in the background while you're driving or, you know, you just want to have something to listen to instead of looking at something.
Yeah. Well, and certainly podcasts are very popular these days. Everybody has a podcast of some kind, and if you have an interest of one particular kind or another, there are a lot of choices for you to make. There are probably a lot of podcasts that are, let's say, controversial in nature, right, that get people fired up. But it's harder probably to find a podcast that has a positive message, right, to feature things that are good, and we certainly need that these days. Can be a very difficult time when you watch the news or you know what's going on. You read the newspaper. It can be very difficult. There, you know, I know the network news stories almost always end with a human interest story or a fluff, thing that they'll always say, you know, they want to end on a good note. But that's because the news is generally so bad for the first, 25 minutes of the newscast. So this is a positive storytelling project, right?
That's right. Yeah, we'll actually start with the human interest story and keep that human interest throughout. Yeah. These are really difficult times. I get it. You know, like I'm an immigrant and I'm worried too. And I live here in Berkshire County and, you know, the economic pain is real. Prices are going up. Food is expensive. And so it can be really hard to look at all this and say, like, the world is falling apart. And so what these stories are intended to do is to focus our attention on, even when everything is falling apart, here are the folks, you know, who are helping. Here are the folks who are actually keeping things going. You know, so for example, one of the stories that I want to tell is to feature the work of Berkshire Bounty and Berkshire Food Project. You know, these are folks that work to make sure that people don't go hungry in Berkshire County. Berkshire Food Project is a free community kitchen up in North Adams, where every day you can go at lunch and get a free hot meal cooked fresh every day. But more importantly, the way they set it up is it's not just about getting the food. It's about community, where you can sit down and have that lunch and connect with people. So it meets not just your hunger needs, but it meets the need to connect with people. It addresses loneliness and the need for community. And that is an amazing project that you don't get to see.
And some of those things are meeting the challenges of sort of our modern times, right? You mentioned loneliness. And maybe in previous generations, that wasn't as much of an issue because people were more social. People gathered more. They joined clubs and organizations, and they fraternized more. And these days, we have our devices. We have our screens. We're, you know, behind our walls and our doors, and we're not getting out and seeing people like we used to, right?
Right. Yeah. You know, and one of the best ways to, this is something that we all know and we feel, it's only gotten worse, but it turns out over and over again, one of the best ways to combat loneliness is to get involved.
You know, sounds so simple, right? And actually, there are so many organizations, and maybe that will be, you know, a spotlight or a focus of your storytelling project, which
that's
is
exactly right.
they're looking for people. There are actually organizations I've heard that are struggling so bad to get people involved to you know, support the organization, just to be a part of it, that they're considering shutting down after all these years.
That's
really sad to see because of the impact that some of these organizations have had traditionally in the community.
That's right. You know, and that's the hope here is that every single one of these stories will hopefully inspire people who are listening to be like, oh, that's an interesting organization or that's an interesting group of people. I want to be part of that group of people. Because for me, that's actually the underlying huge value and the idea behind the common good here in Yankeedom, here in Massachusetts, is why do we build this common good? Why does it benefit everybody? It's not just a transactional thing, because that's how we belong. Mm-hmm. That's how we know we're part of a fabric that's bigger than us. And so when we know that we are a supporting character alongside other supporting characters, it's actually a bit of a relief. It means that you don't have to be the main character. Right. You don't have to be the person that has to figure out how to solve hunger or how to solve education or how to solve health. You can be part of a group of everyday people who all are passionate about that, and you can do your part.
Yeah.
And that's the idea behind the common good.
Hari Kumar is my guest here this morning, talking about his project that he'll be working on this year, Stories for the Common Good. It's going to be an audio storytelling project that will be worked on all throughout the summer and then debuted, hopefully, you said, in September. Is that what you're
That's
targeting?
Right. Yeah. You know, just at the end of the summer, at the start of the fall, great way to, you know, start the new school year. But, you know, it's also right before the election season. Mm-hmm. And it's a good reminder for, like, hey, this is why what we're doing here matters.
Yeah. And you mentioned election season, and there's another area that actually could be an interesting focus, right? When you think about election workers,
yes.
The people that are, helping to conduct these elections,
yes.
They're either paid very little or they're volunteers, yeah. Depending on the community that they're in. But they're there just to make sure that our basic American rights of being able to vote in an election can take place fairly and honestly.
Absolutely.
And it happens all over the country in every state and every community.
Absolutely. This is actually, I'm so glad you mentioned this. I started a volunteer organization about 6 years ago when I first got involved in volunteering to be an election. Well, actually, I signed up to be an election worker because there was such a shortage. This is pandemic times. Mm. And most election workers are retired and elderly. And, of course, the most vulnerable population to have there.
Right. So I'll bet a lot of them at that point said, I'm taking too much of a chance.
Yeah.
Right. With COVID everywhere, I'd be seeing all these people come through and it's just.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or sadly, most of them had passed away.
Yeah.
At that point. Right. So that was an eye-opening experience. And I found out that there were so many people like me who were just volunteers, right, to help people just navigate the election system. And so that is an amazing and important common good. And, you know, starting in September, I know our own local town clerks and, you know, Pittsfield City Clerk, they're going to be looking for election workers. Mm-hmm. And so that'd be a fantastic way for people to get involved.
Yeah. And also, the other difficult thing I think that cities and towns have is filling the roles of volunteer appointments.
Yes.
And I'm thinking of boards and commissions, things like that, where city and town governments don't work well at all unless you have people on the health board, on the zoning board.
That's right. Absolutely
on the
right.
Conservation commission, you know, places like that where, you always have some staff involved, but you can't make those decisions without an elected sometimes board, right?
Yes. And this
that involvement, if you don't have that, the sort of the wheels of progress grind to a halt.
Yeah. And it is such an important fabric of our everyday life here in Massachusetts. So many things happen through committees and boards. Mm-hmm. And, you know, when I first moved here, God, this is my 29th consecutive winter in Massachusetts. Mm. When I first moved here, you know, I found, like, if you tell me, like, oh, my God, committees, like, oh, no, that committee sounds so boring. But they're such an important and an amazing way to, again, be involved.
Yeah.
So part of the Stories of the Common Good project is to make the most boring, mundane aspects of municipal life and community and committee life sound exciting.
Yeah.
But it's not just, so of course, like our local town boards really, really need volunteers, really, really need people in the community to step up and be involved.
Yeah.
So why should you do that? I mean, it is absolutely thankless work. Mm-hmm. You're going to spend a lot of time in committee meetings with people that just drone on and on and on, like I am right now. But
and not only that, you'll probably get people coming to the meetings with differing opinions, saying that you're not making the right decision. But, you know, somebody has to be there to make the decision and actually put in the work.
Yeah.
It's not just sitting in the chair and saying, how do I feel about that? It's really, you know, digging in, doing the research, knowing the topic, knowing the discipline, right?
Yeah.
If you're going to be on zoning or conservation or whatever, those are things that require a little bit of skill. It's not something that you can't acquire.
Right.
You know, you may not know anything about it. If you get onto there, you learn.
Yeah, it's a great way to learn what's going on in your community. I was just talking to a select board member up in Williamstown, where I live, who said that because like a property dispute emerged between two different companies, she had to go back into the archives and she found like property records and uncovered this really amazing, heartwarming story as to how that parcel of land was first gifted to the town in the first place. So these are the kinds of things that you get to learn when you're on a board. But it's not just town boards, nonprofit boards. So yeah. I'm on the board of the Nonprofit Center of the Berkshires. You know, you're a nonprofit yourself at Pittsfield Community Television. Nonprofits in Berkshire County, Berkshire County has over 1,200 nonprofits.
Right.
All of these nonprofits are doing really, really important work, and all of them need volunteers to be on their boards, to be on their committees, because all of us are here trying to work on making this place better.
Yeah. Hari Kumar is my guest here this morning on Morning Drive. We're reaching that top of the hour break, so we'll take that right now and come back and talk more about the good work that nonprofits do in the county and surrounding areas and how that might figure into Hari's project, Stories for the Common Good, which he is working on now and will be working on all throughout the summer and with a debut in the fall. So we're looking forward to that. But we'll get more of that information right after this break, so that you're listening to Morning Drive on 89.7 WTBR-FM Pittsfield. Community Radio will return right after this. Stay tuned.
Stay tuned for more Morning Drive here on WTBR-FM.
Pittsfield Community Radio, 89.7 WTBR-FM Pittsfield, 88.1 WSBR Lee.
Support for WTBR comes from Berkshire Community College. Free community college for any Massachusetts resident without a bachelor's degree at BCC. Find out more at berkshirecc.edu.
And from Sontrini Awnings and Home Improvement, providing awnings and canopies in Western Massachusetts. Retractable awnings, retractable screen, gutter and gutter protection systems, commercial awnings and screen rooms, customized solutions available. Online at Sontrini.com.
PCTV Select is a great way to watch local content without having a cable subscription. You can keep up with the latest of what's going on in your community from anywhere in the world. And it's available for free right now. Watch live events in full HD on your TV, on your computer, or on the go with your mobile device. Or watch our large library of on-demand video programs anytime that's convenient for you. No more waiting until it's on TV. Did we mention it's free? PCTV Select is everywhere you need to be.
We are Rotary, people of action, and we add our support to great ideas to make real change happen. Whether supporting the local warm coat drive, fighting hunger with our local food pantries, or making more transformational gifts like the splash pad at Clapp Park, Pittsfield Rotary is having fun and raising funds to change lives. Join us at our weekly lunches and get involved. Take action with us. Visit RotaryPittsfield.org for more information.
Support for this public service announcement comes from Berkshire Community College and Park Square Productions.
Hi, my name is Al Perlman, and I love jazz. Mostly jazz from the bebop and beyond period of the 40s, 50s, and 60s. I also love sharing my passion for jazz from my extensive jazz vinyl collection with listeners here in Berkshire County. So please join me on Sundays at 8 p.m. for my show Jazz Collector Live on WTBR-FM Pittsfield Community Radio.
Support for WTBR comes from Greylock Federal Credit Union, proud to support high school arts and sports programs to help our community thrive. Greylock Federal, with locations throughout the Berkshires and online at greylock.org.
And from UCP of Western Massachusetts, the Northern Berkshire Early Intervention Program is now accepting applications for an occupational therapist to support child development, empower families, and change futures. 2026 graduates, welcome to apply. Apply today at ucpwma.org.
You have chosen wisely.
WTBR. And now back to the Morning Drive on WTBR-FM, Pittsfield Community Radio.
All right, welcome back to the show. Morning Drive here on 89.7 WTBR-FM, Pittsfield Community Radio, 88.1 WSBR in Lee, Lennox, and Stockbridge. Also, you might be watching us on the PCTV Select app or on channel 1301. Access Pittsfield on your cable dial. Any of those ways work. Sometimes people watch us later on our video on demand service. People just go to pittsfieldtv.org and they can click on the show there and watch it. Glad that you've joined us here this morning, as we always are thankful for. It is Friday, the 10th of April already. It's a little cold out there. It's just above freezing right now, and sunny out there. And this morning, probably the sun is rising a little bit more since I drove in a little while ago. But the sun was right in my eyes. I had the sun visor down the entire way. But we'll take it when we get the sun, for sure. Hari Kumar is my guest here this morning. We're talking about his project, Stories for the Common Good. And we're going to deep dive into a couple of those areas here in the next section of our program. First, let's get to the weather forecast one more time and see what we have in store for us today. Here we go. Berkshire
weather. WTBR radar weather for the Pittsfield area. Rest of tonight, partly cloudy and not as cool. Near steady temperature in the upper 30s. South wind 5 to 10 miles per hour with gusts up to 20 miles per hour. Friday, mostly sunny. Warmer with highs in the upper 60s. South wind 5 to 10 miles per hour. Gusts up to 25 miles per hour in the afternoon. Friday night, showers. Lows in the upper 30s. Southwest wind 10 to 15 miles per hour, becoming west after midnight. Gusts up to 30 miles per hour. Chance of rain 80%. Weather forecasts for WTBR-FM are provided by the National Weather Service.
All right, there you have it. Kind of a nice day out there today. Sunny and a little breezy and some rain tonight. But otherwise, welcome to spring. Definitely spring now here in the Berkshires. Starting to see some green shoots come up. And I've already heard some lawnmowers in my neighborhood. I'm amazed. I look out there, I'm like, there's nothing to mow. Why are you mowing? But maybe that's just me.
The sound of spring.
Yeah, the sound of spring. Exactly.
Yeah.
So again, welcome to the show, Morning Drive here on 89.7 WTBR. Hari Kumar, thanks again for joining us this morning.
Thank you
to talk about
me.
Your project, Stories for the Common Good.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
So let's look into a couple more areas, and we just mentioned nonprofits on the other side of the break there. Berkshire County, known for an area with a very high per capita number of nonprofit organizations, right?
That's
certainly
right.
One of the highest areas in the state, where there are more nonprofits here probably than there are for-profit corporations, I'm just guessing.
Yeah.
But, I mean, there's quite a few, right? But why is that, and what kinds of things do the nonprofits serve in this area, you know, for populations that we have where other areas don't need that many?
Right. No, that's a great question, and it's an area that's very near and dear to my heart. I'm on the nonprofit. I'm on the board of the Nonprofit Center of the Berkshires, mm-hmm. and so we support, you know, the over 1,200 nonprofits that are in Berkshire County. And these nonprofits serve a whole range of needs. Mm. There are nonprofits that provide a lot of, you know, creative arts and cultural programming and cultural experiences. But there are also a lot of nonprofits here in Berkshire County that meet human service needs.
Right.
So, for example, BeFair is an amazing nonprofit that provides a lot of services especially for people that need assisted living and living with disabilities.
Mm-hmm.
AdLib is an amazing nonprofit right here in Pittsfield. But then there's also nonprofits that work in the food security area. We'll get to those in a second. But then there's a whole bunch of really surprising nonprofits that people don't really think of as nonprofits.
Yeah.
And one of them is community media.
Yeah.
So Pittsfield Community Television, you know, I'll admit, I didn't know much about what y'all do.
Yeah.
And once I found out, I immediately signed up. Because in my mind, I was thinking, oh, community TV, that's like, you know, cable access TV.
Right.
But you do so much more. So, Sean, I'm going to flip the story around and have you tell the story a little bit about what you all do at Pittsfield Community Television.
Yeah, I mean, and certainly the same goes to our brother and sister organizations in the rest of the county and throughout the state.
Mm-hmm.
Public education and government access, which is what it's traditionally been called, or community television, community radio, where we get local people involved in producing programs that they're passionate about and create and then can broadcast and share with their neighbors and the rest of the community, in addition to doing things like municipal meetings and school meetings and things like that, making sure that people have access to their government. It's a key factor of knowing, you know, what's going on in your community, having access to the full gavel-to-gavel coverage of these meetings and special events and things like that. So certainly we do that here at Pittsfield Community TV. WTBR-FM, we've taken on as a project for the last 7 or 8 years. We've had this station under our roof here, and it's really blossomed to a point where we have a lot of community involvement with people coming in, producing programs for the community. And then, of course, there's NBCTC in North Adams that does similar work that we do. CTSB-TV, which serves 5 towns in the southern Berkshires. There's Dalton Community Television right over the border in Dalton. WillyNet in Williamstown. So there are, you know, varying degrees of organizations like us. And Massachusetts, people may not know, is the state with the most community media centers of all the states in the country.
Wow.
And it just happened to be because of the way the state laws allowed each community to negotiate with cable companies for the funding for this very valuable resource, right? That's why. In other states, they don't promote it as much, or they do something called statewide franchising, which basically is the state negotiates with the companies and then they give them a little bit and each community gets a little bit, but they don't have the strength of numbers that we have here in Massachusetts. So yeah. That's one of the things, and you talk about common good, people may not realize how much common good those organizations have done for the past, you know, we're actually celebrating our 40th anniversary as an incorporated organization here this year. We're very proud of that.
That's so amazing. Yeah. Congratulations. Yeah. Yeah. And so, you know, that is a great example of the common good, because if for those of you who are listening, or if you're watching this on TV, you're listening to something that's for free and it's being produced, you know, for your benefit.
Right.
And there are actually really important restrictions around, you know, what this is about. Mm-hmm. So, for example, like if I'm producing a show here, I'm not allowed to use that show to just promote my own goods and services.
That's correct.
Right.
It's a non-commercial educational radio station. And the same type of thing goes for the TV side. Right.
So, right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So if you're listening to this, you're getting, you know, you're listening to information where you can actually trust that the person giving that information does not have a financial stake in the information that they're giving to you, which is not something you can say about private media.
Yeah.
The other thing, though, also is if you're listening to this, you know, traditionally the idea is if it's a radio station, maybe you're listening to this in your car, you're listening to this on your radio. But community television, you know, Pittsfield Community Media, you can now actually go listen to this as a podcast. The Morning Drive, there's a feed that you can go stream this later. I actually love watching the video afterward.
Mm.
And the video, you produce it in a way that's embeddable, so it's very modern. It shows up on Facebook. It shows up on social media. This particular segment, I'm looking forward to actually embedding this on the storiesforthecommongood.com website. And that's a service that you provide for free.
Right.
And the other really cool thing about community media that I didn't know is that it's run by, you know, there's their staff, but there's also a whole community of volunteers.
That's right.
You know, people who are experts in audio production, people who have a passion for video production, graphic design.
Right.
And so if you're trying to produce a show like I am, and I'm like, oh my God, I don't know how to do all of this. Sean was like, we got you.
Yeah.
You know, put your idea out there. We've got a team of volunteers. And I'm like, well, how can I help? And Sean said, do you want to be a volunteer for one of these things? I'm like, yeah, I don't have the technical skills, but I'm a storyteller. I'm a story crafter. If somebody has an idea and they're trying to think about, like, how do I even make an episode? I can work with them and for free as a volunteer here on crafting their storyboard.
Right. And of course, we provide the training for that too, so you don't have to walk in with all the technical skills. We do have staff here that can teach those, you know, you go along and you get better.
Yeah.
That's the whole point. You get here and there's no expectation that you're walking in as a professional.
Yeah, and the beautiful thing is, Sean, like, how much do those technical trainings cost?
Once you're a member, which is a very low cost,
yeah,
we keep that very affordable. You can take all of those things for free.
There we go.
Yeah.
where today can anybody go and get a really skilled human being to sit down and walk you through a really complicated piece of audio production software for free?
Yeah.
Your local community media, because that is a common good.
Right. So that is good, and we appreciate the promo there.
There's a free sample of a story for the common good.
Yeah, every once in a while. So, and we want to talk about some of the other things that you'll be focusing on during your project coming up for the stories for the common good.
Yeah.
And one of them, I think we touched on a little bit in the first half, was EMS services, right?
That's right.
First responders, ambulance services. Actually, in the newspaper today, there is actually a story about an EMS service in Great Barrington. Looking for additional funding because they need to replace ambulances. And, you know, as you said, sort of like with the fire department, when you make that call, you don't want to know about their funding. You just want them to come and put out the fire or get you and take you to the hospital or whatever it's going to be. Those are the good things that you need at that moment.
Yeah. Yeah. And this is an important issue. I want to spotlight our local state representative, Lee Davis, who has been championing the cause for emergency medical services, who actually has a bill on the floor in the Massachusetts State House this year. Because it turns out, so police departments and fire stations, fire departments, these are classified as essential services. But EMS is not classified as an essential service in Massachusetts. Across the nation, there are only 13 states where EMS is classified as an essential service, just like police and fire. Massachusetts is not one of them.
And why is that, you think? Is it a historical thing where it just never was classified that way and was always done privately?
Yeah, so and Lee Davis has researched this in depth, and so that's something that we'll be getting into in that episode with her. But she, you know, traces this back to the riot when FEMA came to be in the 70s, and part of how FEMA's funding structure was set up was to actually get municipalities and town governments and state governments to step in and provide some of that funding. And in that initial negotiation as to what kinds of services would they be on the hook for, police and fire were higher up the list than EMS. And so there's been, like, historically, EMS has not been classified to this level. Because at the time, there was also, it was seen as that's medical services that hospitals and the public health system were set up to provide. And over time, as we have seen the public health system get increasingly privatized, you know, EMS has also gotten more and more privatized. And the bills have gone up, and there's not, they can't ask for as much money as essential services can. So EMS is a great example of, and especially here in Berkshire County, in rural areas, you know, every town has a small local police force, and most towns have access to a fire station that's nearby because those are essential. But most towns in rural areas like Berkshire County don't have that guaranteed access to an emergency medical service. And so it can take up to 2 hours. If you're in Berkshire County and you need an ambulance, it can take up to 2 hours for an ambulance to get to you.
And this is one of those things where it's very different on this side of the state than it is in other parts of the state, right?
That's right.
That we do have more rural areas here. That, and you mentioned police force, there are some small towns in Berkshire County that don't have a police force. They rely on the state police to police their area. That they, if there's a call that's going to be made, a dispatch or whatever, it's the state police that's going to show up, not your local police. And that's just because the towns are too small. There's not enough funding for it. It takes money to run police. And so, you know, in addition to that, when you're looking at EMS, there are areas of Berkshire County that are remote, and they're just too far away from those population centers where economically, probably, it makes more sense to run an ambulance service. And I think of the, was it the, not the Northern Berkshire EMS, I think it was the Adams one that recently closed, and they had served, you know, up into Savoy and up into, you know, Hawley and Windsor and places in the Hilltowns where there's no way you're going to have a private ambulance service running up there. They just would go out of business immediately.
And Lee gets into, as part of her advocacy for this bill, it's not just the economic side to this, it's also not just the people side on the receiving end. You know, like, of course, those of us who need these EMS services, there's a human story there of the real human cost to us. Mm-hmm. But she gets into a side that I think a lot of us don't know. I didn't know this until I was talking to her about this. The actual impact this has on the EMS providers themselves. You know, the people who are in those ambulances, the paramedics themselves who show up, because of so much cuts in funding and because they're stretched to cover a lot of service areas, and because fewer people then go into becoming paramedics. Mm. Paramedics in EMS, they are enormously overwhelmed and stressed, and it's putting a real, real toll on their lives. And so the lives of the people that we are relying on to save our lives, who's actually looking out for their lives?
Yeah.
And that's the larger story here, is the common good, the EMS as a common good. We need to be stepping up to support them because they're there for us when we need them the most.
The other thing that's in the news recently has been sort of the aging out of volunteer firefighters.
Yeah.
And when they reach the age of 65, unless there's some special home rule petition that's put in at the state level, those folks have to retire.
Yeah.
They can serve if they've got that special permission to 70 years old, but that's not a given, right? And we've seen that now in two communities, in Adams and in Dalton, where that leaves these fire departments vulnerable because they don't have enough new volunteers coming up to replace those folks. And the folks that have to leave have years and years of experience. They, you know, are still pretty fit and well and could easily fill those roles, but they're being told essentially, nope, you have to stop at 65. So that would be another one of those areas where you're talking about where you don't know what you got until it's gone.
Yeah. Fire stations are an amazing example, and especially volunteer fire stations.
Yeah.
Well, Sean, how do you feel about fire?
I like it under controlled conditions.
Right, yeah. Would you ever volunteer to go run into a burning building?
I don't know about that.
Right, exactly. Yeah. So the people that volunteer to be firefighters, these are extremely special people. Hmm. But the other really fascinating thing for me about this, I didn't know this about fire stations. Fire stations actually are designed and set up and trained to provide a whole range of really vital community services. Mm-hmm. So one thing that maybe a lot of people don't know, when I first became a parent, when my daughter was born, we had to put a car seat into my car, and I didn't know how to put a car seat in. It turns out your local fire station provides free services to install car seats. So you can go to your fire station and you say, look, I've got this infant car seat. I got to put this in my car. I don't even know. And they can tell you, wait, that's actually not a certified car seat. That's a car seat that has some safety issues. Mm. Or that particular type of car seat, it has to be actually buckled in this way and not that way. And that is a free service that you get from your fire station. And that's, you know, the type of, and that's not, it's not just about car seats. They can help you with a whole range of safety-related advice and support. They offer, you know, training. They offer workshops. And to your point, these are workshops done by firefighters who have a lot of experience gathered over the years. They've seen a lot of different things. And so what happens when they age out, we're losing that experience.
Yeah.
But we also need to provide support for people, to recruit volunteers to be firefighters.
Right. So you have to nurture it. It has to be something, if you have something that's a common good, which we're talking about stories for the common good that Hari Kumar is putting together this year, an audio series, you need to continue to put resources toward these things, and you need to keep an idea that it is necessary and it's needed and it requires support and funding, right? All those things. It sounds like you're not going to be short of stories to do. I think we'll probably be seeing a season two from this after this year, right? You're overflowing with ideas. The other one we wanted to talk about was food security, right? That's certainly an area that more and more people in these times, especially, when it came to the pandemic and then as inflation and things came through, more and more people who had never visited a food pantry before or something like that. And I've talked to people on this show about it. They said they've seen people that they've never seen before, new faces, which they don't consider a very good thing because now we've got an influx and we have more need out there. But they're taking care of this need all the time, these folks, right?
Absolutely, yeah. So I'll call out a few really amazing organizations here that are working on this and a few really cool people. So Michael Hitchcock of Roots, Dreams, and Mustard Seeds shared this statistic with me, and it was startling for me. You know, he mentioned that median individual income in Berkshire County is $48,000, so a little tick under $48,000, which means that half of the people in Berkshire County make less than that. I'm one of those. And so Root Streams and Mustard Seeds, Michael Hitchcock's organization and his collaborators and partners there, one of the things they provide is, you know, food pantry and access to food. And that's for free. Anybody can go and get the food they need because, you know, food, hunger, it's one of the core human needs. And so, but in Berkshire County, we also have this amazing network of food producers. The agricultural sector in Berkshire County is one of the top economic sectors in Berkshire County. We have got so much amazing, there are so many great farms, and there's so many great producers of food. There's dairy, like Hylon Farms is right here. All of those organizations, all of the food that's produced from them, there's an access issue because the people that need that food may not be living near one of those farms or may not be able to afford some of those farms. So there are also lots of stores and grocery stores that get food directly from them, and they often have excess produce or they have excess food. So there's an organization called Berkshire Bounty, and what Berkshire Bounty does is they actually match up the food producers and the food suppliers, like stores, with food access sites, like community kitchens, like food pantries. And they rely on volunteers, and I'm one of the volunteers. My friend Dan Morgan up in North Adams is another volunteer. And what we do is we pick up food from a food supplier, and we bring it to a food donation site. And so this network of volunteers connects all the different, there's so many different nonprofits working just in the food sector. So this network of volunteers connects all of them. And in fact, there's
such an essential service, right? Because it's taking two needs there. You have maybe an extra amount of food that could go to waste. And you got people that desperately need food. So you're matching those two things up. But you need that middleman, right? The person, the organization in the middle that could say, hey, I can do, I can help both of these needs.
And then you need all the people that are like, oh, I've got some free time on Monday morning. I can, on my way to work, I can stop by Big Y and pick up a box and bring it over to the food pantry, drop the box off. And you're now part of making this food security problem, you know, solved. There's a summit coming up. I want to plug this. It's on Wednesday, May 6th, here in Pittsfield at the BIC. It's organized by Berkshire Bounty, so people can keep an eye out for that. It'll be in the Berkshire Eagle. And it's a free summit. People can go and they can listen to and learn more about the various different organizations that are working on this. So this is an example of the common good in a way that's like, you know, we've talked about, you know, public education. That's something that's funded by our tax dollars. We've talked about emergency medical services. That's more of a private public partnership type thing. And with food security, this is now more in the nonprofit space. There isn't, you know, there are, of course, you know, state organizations and town organizations, but there's also companies like grocery stores and farms. And then we, but for this one, we absolutely need everybody to pitch in and do their part.
And Hari Kumar is my guest here this morning. You're just joining us. Only a couple minutes left of the show. We're talking about his project Stories for the Common Good, which will be a project produced this summer and debuting in the fall. You know, we've mentioned a couple times the Berkshire Eagle, and I'll just throw that out there. A private company, but an essential service. Having a daily newspaper to present the news. If you know, you don't have that, you have a, what's called a news desert. And again, we don't think about it because the newspaper shows up every day or it's in our inbox or whatever. There are real people doing real work behind that, writing the stories and knowing what the stories are, bringing those to light. Sometimes we don't even know that a story is of concern until we pick up the paper, right? And that goes for iBerkshires as well, organizations like that that, that keep that flow of information going. So we'll throw a tip of the hat to
Of the hat to local community journalism is so important, especially these days. So absolutely, Berkshire Eagle, iBerkshires, Berkshire Edge, down in Southern Berkshires, and also all the work that you all do. I mean, we just picked up the newspaper and talked about the Gray Barrington story. And now, because we've talked about that on WTBR Morning Drive, people who are listening to this are now more informed. So thank you, Sean, and for all the work that you all do at Pittsfield Community Television.
It's all part of the big puzzle, right?
It's all part of the common good.
We have to fit somewhere. So so again, Hari Kumar doing his project here. You're hoping that 6 to 10 episodes, at least 6 that you'll be producing, that will show up where? Where can people be watching or listening to that, rather?
They can, for first of all, they can come to storiesforthecommongood.com, and that'll take them to my website, storiesforthecommongood.com, and they can find more information about this there. There's a handy little form right there that they can fill out if they want to get involved. This project itself is a project for the common good. It's not just about me. It'll take a bunch of us working together to make this happen. So I'm looking for people to volunteer to help me out with things like, if you go to the website, you'll see that web design is not one of my skills. So if somebody's looking at the website saying, this website sucks, help me out.
That would be a good thing for them to do, right?
Absolutely, yes. Yeah.
And of course, funded in part by the Massachusetts Cultural Council yes. and the Northern Berkshire Cultural Council.
Yes.
So great work that they do as well. Yes. Hari Kumar, thanks for being here today. Fascinating project you got going on. Can't wait to hear it when it comes out.
Thank you, Sean. Thank you, everybody. Take care.
All right. Take care, everybody. Have a great weekend out there. And hopefully you get some good weather this weekend. And we'll see you again on Morning Drive on Monday morning. Brian Burkle will have your show for you that day. Take care, everybody.